Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast, proudly sponsored by your friends over at touringplans.com. When you're headed down to Walt Disney World or out to the Disneyland Resort, you need pristine, awesome information, and touringplans.com is going to give you just that. You'll have access to the 365-day crowd calendar, access to over 140 premium touring plans, as well as access to Lines, which is the mobile app, which will run right there on your smartphone and give you great up-to-date information. Don't forget, if you're down at Epcot this weekend, you need to stop by San Angel Inn on Sunday at 2 o'clock and meet the great folks who bring you touringplans.com. Check them out and support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. All of us here in the Magic Kingdom are glad to have you with us on this special day. Whether this is your first time visiting us or your 100th, we welcome you to our family of more than 500 million guests. As Roy Disney said on opening day in October 1971, may Walt Disney World bring joy and inspiration and new knowledge to all who come to this happy place, a magic kingdom where the young and young at heart of all ages can laugh and play and learn together. From all of us in the Disney family, we hope you enjoy your day here in the Magic Kingdom, the most magical place on earth. And now, for your safety and the safety of those around you, we ask that you walk slowly and carefully to your first destination. Have a great day.
Welcome to episode 372 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com, and happy Friday to you. And I know it is a great Friday for a lot of folks in the Be Our Guest Podcast family because many of us are down at Walt Disney World right now. And if you're not, you know, we're sorry, but we're going to take a lot of audio and do a lot of, things to bring back the magic to the podcast here and try to spread some of that magic outside the walls of Walt Disney World. So joining me here on a Friday, as always, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com and Magically Speaking e-newsletter. What's up, Ricky?
I am tired already.
I'm saying exactly.
And it's only Friday. What am I going to do the rest of the weekend?
And you're not running a half marathon tomorrow night.
I know. See, I'm smart. I just go. I don't run half marathons. So I don't need an excuse to go down. I just go.
I'm training right now during the episode, last minute right here.
You should be. Yeah. Because I'm sure you have not done much training to begin with. So
I'm good. I'm going to cross that finish line and at some point.
Yeah, well, you crossed the finish line last year. You just didn't do it very well. Yeah. I think didn't he die at the end of the finish line or something?
I wasn't the only one last year. I mean, it looked like
everyone
a mass unit at the finish line.
I know. They were dying last year. It was really sad.
Yes, it was. All right. Also joining us from down in the wonderful state of Florida, where we are all residents for the next 4 or 5 days, we have Debbie. What's up, Debbie?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it's here. I cannot believe we have talked about this for how long. And now all of my podcast family, well, not all, but a lot of my podcast family members are here. And I can't wait for the rest of them to hurry up and get here whenever they do, whether it be this month, next month, or whenever. But having a great time. And gosh, I'm so glad to have this opportunity to hang out with everyone.
Absolutely. We're so blessed to have the show and so many friends. And, this is what it's all about, getting to get down there and experience our favorite place with so many great friends.
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely.
All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, who is going through the prize closet right now for the big event that happens at 10:45 this morning. What's up, Pam?
Here? Stop, I'm going through right now. Like throwing stuff over my head, like I'm in this great big closet and I'm like,
it's a mad dash, right? Yeah.
Thank goodness I brought the whole prize closet with me. I'm just going to say, down here to the Disney World. Looking forward to it. I can't believe that it's finally here. It seems like, you know, these things in the distance you kind of plan for and think about and blah, blah, blah. And then, boom, they're there. So looking forward to having fun with all of our friends down here for sure.
Absolutely. And if you didn't catch this, we've been talking about it for about a month now. But, 10:45 this morning on Friday morning, we're meeting outside of Canada there in Epcot, and literally we have hundreds of dollars worth of prizes. We're going to stop in each country, record some audio and snack and get your thoughts on some of the food and wine kiosks and stuff, and just have a great time recording some stuff for future episodes, but definitely lots of prizes. So if you're in earshot, if you're within, let's see, if you're downloading this Thursday night, you know, when it comes out late on the East Coast, you need to hustle. You need to get down to Walt Disney World right by 10:45. It'll totally be worth it. So we hope to see you there. And today we actually have a special guest panelist, and you're going to get to hear her on Monday's podcast, but we thought we'd bring her on a Friday show as well because she's full of just lots of energy and just loves Disney like we do. So I'd like to welcome from Auburn, Alabama, we have Abby. How's it going, Abby?
It's going great. It's really good to talk to you guys. I'm super jealous of all you guys' trip that you're going on, and I'll just be sending a little prayer for your race and hope that you all have loads of fun.
All right. It will take definitely lots of prayers for me to cross that line. So I appreciate that, Abby. All right. So today we're going to, tomorrow's the big 40th birthday for the Magic Kingdom and basically for the Walt Disney World Resort. You know, I've heard it said both ways as we've been preparing for this milestone event down at Walt Disney World. So, Pam, what would you say? Is this the birthday for Walt Disney World Resort, or is it the birthday for the Magic Kingdom? What do you think?
I think both, because, really, there were some resorts open there, and it was the kind of the beginning of the whole a theme park being a destination, being a place where you could conceivably take your family and spend a week there. I don't know, I'm not a theme park historian or anything, so, on the board, someone could correct me if I'm wrong, but I really don't think that that's the way that people thought about theme parks before then. And although Disneyland was there, it's not quite the same, and Walt himself admitted that, because he kind of got closed in by the city of Anaheim. So I really think that it is the beginning of the resort, theme park, destination. So I consider it the birthday for the whole thing.
All right, we'll leave that one out there for Matt and Nate from Wedway Radio, or possibly Lou, just to, give us a definitive answer on that one. So, I'm looking at it as like it's Walt Disney World's resort. It's the whole birthday of the whole thing. Obviously, the Magic Kingdom's the center of all the stuff that's happening tomorrow, and I'm excited for it. So make sure that you are following on Twitter, on the Facebook group, because we're going to be there taking pictures, uploading them. We want to share this experience as much as possible with you. But, we thought today we'd at a birthday, a lot of times you sit around and reminisce and talk about the things that maybe, great memories from the past 40 years, maybe some things that we didn't get to experience that we really wish we could have gone back. And you know what? I have heard, rumor had it, Kayla told us this, and I have seen this going on the internet as well, on Twitter, that that tomorrow apparently there's going to be a big retro 70s wearing group walking around the Magic Kingdom, which I think is pretty cool. So that adds to the excitement as well. So watch for the pictures. I'm going to be definitely taking lots of pictures, tweeting them out. So, looking.
You could wear your 70s vest if you'd like.
I have a leisure suit, but I don't think I fit into it anymore. I wore it a few years ago.
Goodness.
I do. Actually, Pam's 30th birthday party was a 70s style party, and I busted out the leisure suit. But you know what? That was almost 8 years ago now, so I don't think it's going to fit this time. But I thought about going to Goodwill or something and trying to get a leisure suit, putting some Mickey heads on it or something. That would rock. I mean, that would be better than EO, but...
it would have been. And it could have doubled as your Halloween costume.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I know. So let's just kind of go around and talk about, positive memories from the past 40 years, things that have been incredible. I mean, a lot of things. For example, at the 25th anniversary, we had the Pepto-Bismol Castle. So let's bring that, kind of up and around. And it gets such a bad rap in the Disney community. But looking back, now that it's gone and we have our beautiful castle back, was it that bad, Ricky? I mean, at least they tried something, and it was definitely something we remember 15 years later.
I don't I don't know if it was as bad as people think it is. I mean, okay, it was pretty darn pink. Let's go with that. And it was kind of jarring. But, you know, they tried to do something with the 50th anniversary of all of the Walt Disney parks with the whole gold...
bling bling.
Bling bling. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The bling bling castle. So, you know, I think that in a way... I like it when they try to do different things with the castle. It's just sometimes they have to... Like, I think they did it a little better with the 50th because of the fact that, you know, it was still the castle. People could still recognize it as Cinderella Castle. It just had the bling on top of it. Whereas with the 25th anniversary cake, well, I don't necessarily hate it. I don't necessarily love it. I don't have a real opinion on it. You really couldn't tell that it was Cinderella Castle. And I think that that's what a lot of people don't really like about the castle cake. That and the fact that it was Pepto-Bismol pink.
Yeah, you know, but you know, in a way, though, now looking back, you know, at the time, if you were going for Cinderella Castle and you missed that out on your trip, you know, that's kind of a bummer. But it really does. If you have a picture of you in front of that castle or pictures of the castle during that time, that really does kind of mark an era and, you know, a time in Disney history that... It's unmistakable. I mean, you can't like say, oh, well, when was this? You know, because it was so jarring.
Go to Walt Disney World again? Oh, right, yeah.
So that, you know, to me that was kind of a fun time and something I'm glad they tried. You know, it wasn't a home run, I don't think, but it was at least a triple. We're gonna go with that. You know, the baseball analogy here. So, Ricky, you know, looking back over the past 40 years, you know, let's reminisce. What do you think?
Oh my goodness! What do I think about what?
Anything, you know? What is Magic Kingdom? You know, the Walt Disney World Resort. What'd you miss, or you know, what's something
you know,
that you experienced?
One thing that I wish that I could have seen that I don't. I think I'm pretty sure it was part of the first year of Magic Kingdom is the Mickey Mouse review. That is just one of those things that I think is really cool. They had so many little animatronics there. And I've never seen it ever, but it just seemed like this really, really neat little show that I wish that I could see in some way. Like, you know, there's no video of it, you know, at least that I know of. So I really would like to see the Mickey Mouse review. That's one of those things that I miss.
You know, and I love talking about stuff that, looking back, if I was a Disney fan then, or if, you know, some of us, if we're old enough, because
I wasn't even born. I took it out.
I brought Abby on the show today because she's significantly younger than you, Ricky. So
that's
now you're
right.
One of the older ones. But, you know, I just think it's kind of fun. Like, I miss the wave machine that was off the Polynesian beach. Like, I know that didn't last very long, and I know that it's still there under the water. I just love stuff like that. Like the old, the runway out by the monorail tracks, you know, stuff like I love stuff that's kind of hidden away and forgotten about, but I wish I could have experienced like the energy of when it was possibly going to be a big deal. So let's go to Debbie. So Debbie, looking back on 40 years, you know, what are your thoughts?
Wow. You know, one of my favorite things, Mike, I have tons of Disney history books. And that's one of my favorite things to do is to go through and look at all the pictures, the retro pictures, you know, seeing the costuming, seeing the characters, how strange they looked back then versus how they look today and how they have morphed seamlessly morphed. And if you look back in the 70s and also you look back into today, you're like, wow, there's a difference in a lot of these characters. I love looking at the pictures of where things were, like seeing the dirt that Walt was walking on, to see where where the castle would be and the tracks, and to see where it is today. It's such an appreciation, I think, for me as to where it came from and to where it is in 2011.
You know, I think you're so right, because whenever you catch one of those shows like on like History Channel or modern, you know, one of those modern Marvels type things, and you see opening day of the Magic Kingdom and they have that parade, to me, when you brought up the characters, those characters on that day like are scary looking compared to today's.
I mean,
don't you think? But I mean, that's kind of how they based, you know, that was opening day, come here, this is a whole new kind of thing. But I wonder if people of that day saw the characters as kind of edgy or scary looking, or maybe they've just over the years kind of rounded them off a little more and softened them up.
I don't know. They were pretty scary.
They were.
I think if I were a kid in that time, I might have gone running the other direction. I'm just saying. So
I mean, you know, they had like a big bad wolf like in the parade, but also Mickey
yes.
looked a little scary. I mean, I got to tell you, Mickey Mouse looked a little scary.
Yeah, and Donald had something going on with that beak thing. I don't know what happened to him, but yeah, he's there. I like them today much better than I did when actually I was there in 75, 76. And I don't remember a whole lot, but I do know that from the pictures that I've seen, it's like, holy cow, I really like the characters today versus where they were before.
Yeah, they've aged better than most of us.
They really have. I think so. Yeah, I think they've had some Botox or something. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I think that was Miss Piggy. Botox. Very nice.
And plus, it's funny to see the way people dress now. The actual guests themselves. That's another thing. You know, back then, you know, people had more dignity. They, you know, they liked to cover up. They didn't wear these things that look like belts for skirts, or you know, they really had some dignity about them. And
Debbie, don't lie. You know, you have a belt skirt. That you know you do.
Just one. No kidding. I just thought they're so cool because they have the little, you know, just the look of, you know, the little high heels or the little dainty purses. And just, it was just kind of cool to sit there and go, you really wore that to Disneyland, to Disney World, did you?
Seriously, I mean, do you not know how to tour a park? You can't wear that stuff, you know. But good point.
Heels will get stuck in the tar, in the stuff.
The blacktop, yeah.
Blacktop, thank you.
All right, so Pam, let's get your thoughts. I mean, 40 years, you know, looking back, what do you remember?
So one of the things I really remember, and when I think back on vacations and what stands out in my mind, has to be some of the interactions with the cast members. Just little things along the way that every time I think about that trip, I remember that interaction. One of the first times we took Hannah, we took her to the Halloween party, and she had some absolutely fantastic interactions with some of the people who are the characters. A lot of the people that were in the parades, those, I say kids because they're young, and they're very young every time I look at them, but they work so hard during those parades. Some of that is like real physical activity, and they're so energetic and so mindful of the fact that there are families there watching the parade, so that the performance that happens at the beginning of the parade is just as good as the performance that happens at the end of the parade. And I think that that's incredible. So many cast members who were our servers at different restaurants have just gone above and beyond to make sure that our experience was really magical. Some of the cast members at guest services, when we did have an issue, just responded so well that they turned an absolute negative into a super positive. I mean, just took a situation that was bad and more than corrected it, made it great. You know, just it seems like, I know that every now and then you read about a bad experience with a cast member, you may have one yourself, but that's so overwhelmingly in the minority. Most of the time, the interactions with the cast member just so enhances the vacation that if you thought about it, there's just, you know, no way that your vacation would be the same without them. So that's really one of the first things I go to when I think about it.
That's a great point, because we've always said that that's such a huge part of every Disney vacation. And, you know, I was thinking about this a couple days ago about, you know, what's going to be special to me, you know, being there for such a milestone event, because I've never been there, you know, on an anniversary. You know, I've been there during the year, but I mean, we are going to be there on the day, and I'm so humbled to be able to do that. I mean, I'm very lucky, but you know, one of the things I think I want to do is, you know, one thing I really would like to find, and I don't know if it's going to be possible, but I think it may, I would love to find a cast member that has been there since opening day. That's kind of one of my challenges for the weekend.
That would be really, you know, cool.
And,
and you know, that's the kind of person I want to say happy birthday to, you know, like happy 40th anniversary, but even the cast member that's only been there a year, because they're carrying on the tradition of the place I love. You know, you can't really say, you know, happy 40th to a statue or to a castle, but you can definitely say that to the cast members, you know, and they would appreciate it. So, you know, I'm challenging everybody that's going to be there this weekend and over the next year to thank a cast member, you know, say thank you for keeping this place so awesome for 40 years.
Good point.
No,
yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's get to Abby here. So Abby, looking back, you know, 40 years, what's something that stands out to you?
Well, I think just like all you guys have mentioned, the cast members are really, you know, what gives Disney most of its magic. And another thing that I was thinking about while we were talking was just like knowing us, you know, we're probably a small percentage of Disney's guests that, you know a lot more about Disney and probably, you know, would surprise cast members with their knowledge. But, you know, knowing that stuff, like knowing that that Wavemaker is, you know, in Bay Lake, right, off the beach at the Polynesian, like, that's kind of cool to know, like, to be able to tell people, you know, the little knowledge about how this Wavemaker, you know, used to be in here, and now it had problems and they turned it off, and but it's still there. And knowing little stuff like that is really special and can really make my trip when I get to share that kind of magic with, you know, my family and friends with me.
I think it's a great point, too, for folks like us to be able to pass on that. Now, you got to understand your audience, because some people could care less if there was a Wavemaker right under that one. Because I know, like, my wife is like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool that it's under there, you know, but let's go to a nice restaurant or let's, you know, go do something fun. But, you know, I think it's great, though, that we pass that on. And I think that's what's, you know, not to kind of toot our horn, but the podcast community, I think we're, especially like the ones like Wedway Radio and Lou, who interviews all these great folks who you know, firsthand built Walt Disney World. I think it's great to now have this kind of oral tradition type of, you know, it's like a history that's right there on the internet, you know, spoken from the people who laid the, you know, the bricks and who put in the plans and drew up everything. I think that, you know, it's great for us to be able to hear that and learn in an easy way. But also, like you said, Abby, to kind of pass on that tradition to folks who want to know that stuff. And I think a lot of people are so interested, but they just have no idea that there's so much history around them. So I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to, you know, I want to think about some of the things, though, that like I didn't get to experience. And, you know, a few of those things, as I look back over the 40 years, you know, I'm thinking of like River Country, never got to go to that water park. And it was very unique because it was really, a lot of people call it the very first water park, and it's right there. Discovery Island, again, would have been something that would have been extremely cool. And I wonder about that place every time you pass it on a boat and you look over there and you're like, that was an attraction at one day. It was a big deal. And now it's just, you know, all these abandoned things, you know, that are there, and, you know, their time has come and passed. And Disney World has done a great job. I mean, River Country wouldn't be as cool as Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach. They had to move on to the next big thing. In 40 years from now, you know, who knows if Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach will still be around. There could be another, you know, evolution of the water park. But, you know, I walk around property and there's so much that I'm just wondering about. You know, it seems like 40 years is a long time, but really it's not. I mean, you look back and, you know, like, for example, I don't know how many people remember, but remember when French Quarter was totally shuttered in the early 2000s? I mean, it was out of business. You couldn't stay there. You know, and that's something that I look back on. I'm like, wow, an entire resort actually closed for a period of time. And I was really disheartened by that because I had stayed at French Quarter and loved it. And I was thinking, a whole resort is just sitting there empty. And it's so eerie. And then you had the second half of Pop Century, which is now Art of Animation, you know, just sat there for years and years and looked really spooky. But just, you know, Walt Disney World has a history unlike many other places. You know, it's a story of victories and defeats and comebacks and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, we should have, you know, grabbed Nate and Matt and got them on here with us, you know, and had a big old round table, because they would have definitely given us a lot of details. But, you know, just personally, from somebody who's not a historian, looking back, because I have a brief history with this love of Walt Disney World, just stuff like that really stands out. So let's go around one more time. And Ricky, maybe one more thing that really stands out from the past 40 years.
Well, I think that you kind of really hit it on the head for me, is the attractions are really what stands out. You know, those are the things that, you know, I remember as a kid. You know, I've told the stories countless times of being terrified of Country Bear Jamboree as a little girl.
And I'm still scared of it.
I know. And Snow White's Scary Adventure and Space Mountain, you know, those are my first memories of Walt Disney World, was being terrified, you know, but it's a part of who I am. It's a part of the history of how Walt Disney World has changed me, you know. And, you know, then we go into my teens and I actually start to kind of get on attractions, but I still haven't quite mastered up the courage to do something like Space Mountain. You know, I'm still a chicken, you know, but I did go to, you know, the Halloween party, which was pretty darn awesome back in the day. And it still is awesome, I have to say. I'm so excited about going to it this weekend. But, you know, I remember doing that, you know, when it first started. And, you know, and growing up, just as I've gotten older, the rides have meant more to me. And then now in my 20s, you know, the nostalgia factor is there for, you know, some of the attractions, like the Haunted Mansion is one of my favorites because of the nostalgia. Now, I know I was terrified of it as a kid, but now there's something about it that I must remember that, you know, really still sticks with me. You know, it's just, it's that nostalgia of growing up in the parks. You know, that's really what stands out to me is I really have grown up in the parks, whether I've liked it or not. I've grown up in the parks.
That's a good point.
And I look forward to growing up with the parks as I continue to age.
Absolutely. And you're exactly right, because if you think about it, you know, we can mark our lives, a lot of us that listen to the show here, by, you know, the times we visited Walt Disney World, because for many of us, it's at least an annual event. You know, many people are fortunate enough to get down there a couple, three times a year. And, you know, you have those special times. You know, maybe it was where your kid took their first step, or possibly, like you said, I mean,
Getting engaged.
Exactly. I mean, that's a huge milestone in your life. And it happened at Walt Disney World. And I mean, even if it's something like, you know, I'll never forget, you know, Mallory standing there this past summer being tall enough to ride Test Track. And I mean, that sounds goofy, but it's like, you know what? It just seems like she was just a little baby that was in the pumpkin seat. Mm-hmm. And here she is now, you know, standing next to that, you know, height indicator. And we got the picture with her thumbs up. And it was just, I mean, you know, for a Disney fan, that's special. But I mean, for a dad, that's also very special. You know, it's like, wow, the time is going fast, but we have such great times because we flip through the photo albums of all of our trips down there, and we're always smiling. We're always having a great time, and it's, you can always pop out those photo albums when you're back home, and you know, it's not such a great day, and it brings smiles to your face just to know that you've had this place that you knew was there, and you could always escape to it at some point. So that's a great point, Ricky.
Thank you very much.
All right, so Debbie, something else. 40 years. What else is standing out?
You know, the parades. If you go back and see, you know, like you were saying with the Modern Marvels or any of the other historical videos that they show, you know, you've got these simplistic characters wandering around in the very beginning. And today, everything is so wow. And you've got Spectral Magic, the lights there. You've got Main Street Electrical Parade. You've got all these wow factors that are happening. But the common denominator that really hits me the most, Mike, is when you look back at the pictures of yesteryears and the pictures of today, no matter how wow Disney has made it versus the simplicity, you always see smiles on people's faces.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time.
Yeah, well, yes. But it's just so cool to see how it has changed and grown from something that's very basic, you know, very nice, but very basic as the parade starts, all the way to the very elaborate shows that they have become today.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things too that you can't really understand it when you're in the moment, you know, and I know that whenever Disney announces, oh, we're going to change Pirates, or we're going to update the Haunted Mansion, or we're going to change the Tiki Room,
or
whatever.
Or add Avatar.
Or, you know, or that, you know, I didn't want to bring that up. This is, you know, that's a time, and that's a I'm letting it kind of settle. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks.
We'll talk about it later.
Everybody's talking about it now. I want us to kind of think about it for a while, let it stew. But, you know, I think it's one of those things, though, that, you know, Disney has always kind of evolved into a better product for the most part. I think 95% of the time they kind of look forward and change the product. And a lot of times we're scared to death with change as Disney fans. We hate that. But, you know, like you said, Debbie, I mean, those parades at the beginning, everybody was having a great time. And that was a great parade in 71. But look how far they've come. I mean, and the thing is, like, if you say, we're going to change this parade to those people in 71, they might say, why change it? This is a great parade right now. But I think that's a great point to trust, you know, where Disney's going in the future even.
Exactly. And no matter what they do, whether if we like it or if we don't, we always end up smiling.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about, you know.
Yeah, it brings everybody together.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't have a good time at Walt Disney World, I mean, what's the point? You know, don't waste, it shouldn't be stressful. I know a lot of people get stressed about ADRs and about, you know, hotel stays and transportation getting there. You know what? It's all going to be fine. You're at Walt Disney World. A bad day at Walt Disney World smokes out a great day at work most of the time, I would say, unless you know, have some kid that's doing great, you know, and you're proud for him, for me. But other than that, you know, you got to love it. So Pam, 40 years, you know, look back one more thing. What do you think about?
It really is, like, you know, you were mentioning, it really is, and like Ricky had mentioned, a place that I feel like I have grown up. You know, when I was younger, my family went to Disney World quite a few times, which I think was kind of a rarity at that point. There weren't discussion boards where people were talking about going a few times a year and things like that. I went, you know, my first trip was in the 70s, and we went quite a few times growing up since then. And I took Hannah when she was young. I've been with family. I've been with friends. There's just really this escapism at Disney, and not in a bad way, in a really good way, in a way that lets you forget all the stupid stuff at home and lets you be there. And I think the thing that I feel that the Disney vacations have given me more than anything else is this ability to really concentrate on the time that I'm spending there and the people that I'm spending it with. And I know that that's something, you know, throughout your life that you do, you know, you think, oh, I'm very grateful for this. And I love my family and I love spending time with them and I love being with my friends and things like that. But I feel like at Disney World, I'm actually more able to concentrate on that, on those feelings, you know, day in and day out at home, you get kind of wrapped up in the minutiae of your everyday life. And Disney World takes that away from me. And not only do I get to have a great time and get to experience these attractions and these restaurants and these resorts that they're famous for, but more importantly, I really get to focus in on what I said, that feeling of spending time with the people I'm there with. And I think that that is one of the things that I will just take away and will keep bringing me back to Disney World again and again and again and again. So.
You know, that's a great point, Pam. And I think too, and you know, when we're not there, I think that it's always great to have on the horizon a Disney trip, you know, because I think that you always have to kind of have something to look forward to that's a big deal for your family. And for us, you know, we've had other things in life that we've gotten excited about, obviously. But, you know, looking back, it's always fun to have even that countdown to the next Disney trip, just knowing you're working towards something, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I refuse to leave without having another trip booked. So, and I've had to put my foot down. No, but I mean, you know, I just want that thing to look forward to. And it's not depressing to me when it's far off. It's just, you know, knowing that it's there and, you know, makes you breathe a little easier.
Absolutely. So, Abby, what do you think? One more thing, you know, over the past 40 years you're thankful for, or, you know, something maybe you're curious about or you just love?
Well, I think, like Debbie brought up, how like Walt Disney World is always changing, and just that's something they do really well is, you know, taking away maybe something good or great to just add something spectacular. But two attractions that I think really stand out to me that I missed because of my age and, you know, not going when I was younger was, one of them is Kitchen Cabaret, and I know that's not really, you know, a well-known attraction.
Veggie, fruit, fruit.
Definitely, that soundtrack is my favorite, you know, attraction audio that I just love to listen to and always makes me happy. Just the little inside jokes make me crack up, but I've never actually, you know, been to Kitchen Cabaret, but again, they closed that, you know, where Soarin's Fast Passes are is where that used to be. So, and Soarin's a good ride. So, I mean, they took away the good that, you know, bring the spectacular. But another attraction that, I don't know, this may be stirring things up, but I really never got to ride the original, view the original Tiki Room. I saw the Tiki Room under new management, and I haven't seen the, you know, the supposed original one, but I really wish that I could have seen, you know, the original one because I hear great things about it.
Now, is that exactly the same, Pam? Because I'm hearing it's very close, at least, if not exact.
I hope that it is exact. I'm looking
similar, but similar. Not exact.
I think it would be challenging to be exact, but yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it's similar, but not exact, so.
Well, at least it's getting in the right direction.
That's right. There are no Iagos or Zazus. Yes. It's a much better attraction anyway, yeah.
But you know, Abby, I'm right with you. You know, there's so many things I didn't get to experience. You know, Horizons is a big one for me because people revere that ride. They got to, you know, got to experience it. And like you, I wasn't, you know, into Disney then, never got the chance. But thankful, you know, I'm glad that we have the audio and now we have the websites with, you know, videos on YouTube. Of course, it's not the same experience, but at least you can go back and say, I kind of have an idea of what it was. So I think that, you know, the past experiences, like you say, Abby, are a great way to kind of look back. But you make a great point that you see that even though those things are gone many times, and I don't know if Mission Space is an upgrade, but most of the time, you know, better things have come on and replaced them.
Oh, I completely agree. It's great. Just like I said, Disney is one of the, you know, deals best with change. So.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm going to wrap this up with just saying that, you know, like I said, I'm so fortunate to get to be down there for the 40th. And, you know, we're going to share as much as we can this weekend. But, you know, to think that, you know, this kid who really likes Disney kind of grew up and gets to be there on the 40th anniversary, that's a cool thing. But just knowing how many friends are going to be there celebrating this event with us, you know, that really puts it over the top. Just knowing that people are going to be there in the park with us and friends we've met just because of Disney, because we were on a message board, because we started a podcast, we have a radio station, just, you know, friends that we've met in the park in passing, you know, so many friends are going to be down there this weekend. And I think that, you know, if you would have told me 10 years ago, this is how it was going to be on the 40th anniversary, I'd have said, you're crazy. You know, you're going to be down there with hundreds of friends and, you know, be able to share this literally with thousands of people because of the experience that are friends that can't make it. I mean, really, I mean, what do you think Walt would think, Pam? Just kind of wrapping this up. I mean, you know, on the 40th anniversary, now social media is out there. How many people are going to get to experience this firsthand and then secondhand because of social media? I mean, I think Walt would be pleased.
Absolutely. He brought the television cameras into the parks. He wanted people to be able to see it. He wanted them to know about what was going on. You know, I think that this is just an extension of that, a way for people to be able to experience the magic, even if they can't be there, and entice them to travel there too. Let's face it. I mean, hello, sitting here at home, every time I read a tweet from someone at Disney World, you know what I think. Oh, I think it's just thinking about that next trip. So it's a way to experience the magic and to kind of pull you back in too.
Good point. So we're going to do that this weekend. So please do follow us on Twitter. All of our contact information is up over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com, as well as the schedule of events. Again, today on Friday at 10:45, we're going to have the big event, which is going to be the Walk Around and World Showcase. Meet us there outside of Canada around 10:45. We're going to be giving away prizes in all 11 countries, having a great time recording some stuff for some future episodes. So if you're down there, please come by and say hi. We'd love to meet you. And we're also going to be, you know, around in the races, cheering for the 5K runners. And also, we're all going to be at the big Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party Sunday night, and just follow our tweets there to find out where we are. Ricky will be wherever the candy is the best.
Yes,
with Debbie, I think.
Much, yeah.
And I'll just be kind of cruising the park with Pam and Steve.
I've got
and Hannah,
my bag so. Ready.
All right,
good stuff. All right, so we're going to wrap this one up. Don't forget, today's episode was brought to you by touringplans.com. They are actually having a meetup as well on Sunday over at La Hacienda, San Angel. Wait, where is it? It's over at Mexico.
Cantina.
The Cantina. So let's just say, yeah, yeah. I don't want to cost Lynn more money.
Every place but the one
that's
that
right.
We're going to be
at. It's at the Mexico Pavilion, one of the eateries.
Just look for a bunch of people in touring plan shirts. I'm sure you'll find them.
That's right. If you see somebody in a red shirt with a circle of a T, you're in the right place.
You're in the right place.
Come by and say hi to Lynn and the crew. They are great supporters of our podcast. And, of course, they have great products over at their site. But we'll be at the event, you know, supporting them because they support us. It's going to be a great time. So check them out over at touringplans.com. Now, I wanted to let you know that we have a new Facebook page for the radio station for Magical Mouse Radio. It's over at facebook.com/Magical Mouse Radio. So we'd love it if you'd like us over there. We're going to keep you up to date with all the changes to the station, you know, with new shows coming up here soon. I know that last week we did the, now for the past 2 weeks, we've done 24 hours of background loops on Tuesdays, and the numbers are insane with that. So, you know, if you want to listen to background loops at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday morning, hey, we've already started them. You know, if you want to listen to them at 9 o'clock that night, they're still going. So, in the, you know, the greatest thing, Ricky, is that we don't repeat any background loops for 24 hours, which I think is pretty cool.
That is awesome. And it's awesome that there are that many, too, which I think is fabulous, to last for 24 hours nonstop. Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, and I wanted to add, too, you know, on my little Roku player that I have for some of the televisions in our home, I just noticed, I don't know, maybe it's been there for a while, but there's a live 365 station. So I just added it to my channel list. so that I will be able to play that throughout the house. So,
blast it. You know, magic. You should hear Magical Moss Radio coming out of every audio device that's
you
in your house. I mean, you know, in the bathroom, little Magical Moss Radio. You know, kitchen, little Magical Moss Radio coming
that's
your
right.
way. So, yeah, definitely check that. It is out for the Roku. I just noticed that earlier today. So, check it all out over at MagicalMossRadio.com. Great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music. Don't forget to follow the show on Facebook. Again, this weekend, we're going to be putting the pictures up. You know, sending messages to the Facebook page. It's over at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And if you're down there, tag some of your pictures up to the site so we can have those and share those to everybody. And again, Twitter, so you can kind of keep up with where we're going to be. I am going to be tweeting from the half marathon, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Lord.
You know, because I'll be moving at a snail's pace, so it'll be pretty easy to tweet. So follow everything on Twitter, twitter.com/BeOurGuestMic. So for everybody that is down there, so great to see you. For everybody that can't make it this year, we're going to do our very, very best to take you there virtually and bring back some great audio to have here on the podcast. But as always, thank you so much for being a friend of the show. We love having you as a listener to the podcast. In the friendships, I think that's what this 40 years is all about. We're so lucky to have them. And happy birthday, Walt Disney World. So we hope you have a great one. So for Ricky, Debbie, Pam, and Abby, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Stay safe and have a lot of fun. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.